a, what's it called? Draw this, you motherfucker?
Yeah, that's what it's called. Okay. Hey, you son of a bitch, draw this fucking scene. That's what it's called. Okay. It's all ages. It
sounds a little...
Bring the kids. There's going to be face painting as well.
It's fucking face painting.
That's right.
Yeah.
We will put any swear word on your child's face.
Anybody you want.
At all. While Dave gives you a neck massage.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Sneaky Dragon. My name is David Dedrick.
And I'm Ian Boothby. You had some hesitation.
Wait a second.
You had some hesitation about
your
name.
Hola, amigos. Bienvenidos a Sneaky Dragon.
Ah, there you go. Yes. What? What was that all about? What's going on?
Well, I just was walking back because you just came back from Barcelona.
From Barcelona, as they say.
Barcelona.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely correct. I'm very, very jet lagged right
now.
You are? So this may, again, as always, this may be a dream. Mm-hmm. I'm not quite sure.
Yes.
I do dream about doing this show a lot.
I am pretty dreamy.
Mm-hmm. No, I was just at a Barcelona Comic Con. My wife, Pia, was a guest there.
Oh,
I was,
and what were you?
I was a plus one.
I was a plus uno. Is that what they call you there?
Yeah.
Plus
you know what that guy gets to do?
Yeah.
He gets to eat the food.
Okay.
And he gets a lot of free time.
That sounds
and
sweet.
And so it was all right. Yeah, yeah. Except I don't speak Spanish. So awkward. But anywhere you go in that city, you can get some ham. Let me tell you, anywhere.
Hablo un poco de español.
Yes, exactly. You go into a church, the communion wafer is made of ham.
No.
No, it's not. No, it's not. See, I was doing that for comedic purposes.
Okay.
But anyway, thank you for shooting that down. Once again, the three improv classes that you took really paid off.
They didn't take.
Yeah.
They didn't
no take. And no again is basically a way that
That's
goes.
What I remember. That's what it was. That's what it's all about, right?
Yeah. But it was really beautiful. And also, they were having this color run when we were there.
Okay.
You know what a color run is?
Bad laundry?
Oh, well, it wouldn't be 100% wrong. It's a charity running thing.
Okay.
But beforehand, people cover themselves in colorful chalk. Like, they just throw chalk into the air, colorful chalk, and they cover themselves.
Yeah.
Or they had a guy there with what looked like a leaf blower, was just shooting chalk at people. And you got asthma. It's a great place to be.
No wonder their economy's in the shits.
You would never know. Everyone's having such a good time.
Is that right?
Oh, my gosh. People enjoy life there.
That's
ridiculous.
Nice. I got to say, that's nice.
Yeah, hey, we're going to have lunch. How long is that going to take? 2-3 hours? Who cares? And we're going to eat at 10 at night and go to whenever, and we're going to have a great time. Yeah, everyone just has a great time.
When I was visiting Italy with my family, of course, we are uptight Westerners, so we were...
eating ragu or Chef Boyardee.
Out of a tin can. I don't trust that foreign food.
No, of course not. It's going to give you the the Trotskys.
Although, to be fair, when you're eating Chef Boyardee in Europe, it is foreign. It's foreign food there.
That is true.
But we went out for dinner, 6:30, 7 o'clock. And the people in the wait staff thought we were crazy.
Of course they're crazy.
Because they're just hanging around waiting. Like, they don't know what...
Now, but you're a wait staff. Wouldn't you want customers in there? Like,
well, you would, but it just seems odd to them that we're there so early.
Yeah.
Because when we finished, it was probably around 9 o'clock that we finished our meal. So we were probably there a little later than 6. But we were walking home around 9 o'clock. And then the streets, this was in Pisa, the streets which had previously been, empty, were suddenly just... full of people of all types, everywhere, all over. And we were just going back to go to sleep. We were exhausted. It was 9 o'clock. It was time for bed for us. Because, every day we were just walking. And
right.
So it was just exhausting. But it seemed different. Like, I kind of would like that myself. I'm a person, I get a nice burst of energy around 9 o'clock at night that carries me into the wee hours.
Yeah, normally the night hours would work for me, except I had to get up early in the morning to go to the con and do human stuff. Like, and if you get home around
damn humans
around midnight and you go like, I'm gonna watch a little TV. Now, admittedly, I don't speak Spanish, but I'm gonna put on a little TV. Here's what you get. You get two things on the that's right. You get two things on Spanish TV past midnight. One, you get jazz.
Yes.
People playing...
Same in France.
Yeah, a lot of jazz.
Yeah.
And two, sexy roulette.
Hmm.
A sexy lady standing in front of a roulette wheel.
Okay.
And then I guess everyone phones in or something, or somehow you're able to bet online.
Huh.
And then they watch the wheel spin around.
Yeah.
And then you watch a bit more jazz. Then you go back to sexy roulette.
Is it called the Wheel O Fortuna?
No, it is not.
Okay.
No, that's... It's the Wheel of Tuna. They're a seafood-based culture.
That's a different thing.
And people
thing,
win fish.
Okay.
Delicious fish.
Yeah.
I actually did have some fantastic fish there. Oh, it's good. It's weird when you do go to Europe, things just feel more real. You know, I don't know why.
How do you mean? Explain.
I will explain.
Explique.
Maybe it is because I'm just going. I'm with other professionals in like the comics industry, or I'm going and I'm doing comedy shows, so I'm around other comedy people. And
yeah,
but they're
all phonies.
Well, it just feels like in Europe, there's more things set up. Like if you go to a Comic Con here, and nothing against Comic Cons that we're going to here, like one that we're going to this weekend.
Prepare for a slam.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to actually a really good one this weekend, which if you're listening to this, is happening right now.
Right probably, this very minute.
Yeah, VanCaf, Vancouver.
Tell me more.
Well, all right, let me actually tell you this, and then we'll get into it. A Vancouver Comics Arts Festival. What's the date on that, David?
May 24th, 25th.
There you go. And if you come on the 25th, you're going to see...
Starts at 10, yeah. Ends at 6 on Saturday.
That's too early.
Starts at 10,
too
ends
early.
At 5 on Sunday.
Just crazy.
And we are closing it down.
We are closing it down. What we're going to do is we're going to set it on fire. We've decided...
There's a lot of paper there.
Yeah, and we're just... We both wanted to be arsonists since we were young, yeah. And we think this is probably our best shot. We're going to do a live Sneaky Dragon there with guest Steve Rolston.
He's there, too.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So we're going to do that. We'll also be doing other things. We'll be at tables. We'll be selling buttons.
Doing crossword
puzzles.
We'll
have a limited amount of shirts. And things will
be
good. Did
you say unlimited amount of shirts?
A limited amount of shirts. Because we couldn't get the second round of shirts we wanted to get printed. But we got lots of shirts, so don't worry about it. Come on down and please say hi.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but most Comic Cons that you go to are uncomfortable. They're jammed in. It's a bunch of dealers selling comics that aren't great. You go to Europe,
yeah.
And you go like, oh, it's always like amazing, and everyone just seems smarter and dressed better, and it's all real, and it feels like.
Well, it depends where you are, but if you're in any cosmopolitan area in Europe, everyone does dress better.
Well, here's the thing. I feel like just generally people embrace the arts more in Europe because they're older countries, so they've actually got some arts. Like you look at the oldest art you've got in the States.
Yeah,
it's not going to be older than about 200 years, so who cares? But there, it's like, oh, it's beautiful, amazing, and the culture continues, and they read books. I mean, obviously, I'm stereotyping. Some people are illiterate.
What about Native American art, you racist?
Oh, that's a good point. I completely racist of me. Well done, Dave.
Sorry.
Okay, here's what Dave does. One of two things. One, either I bring an idea out and he'll say no. Or two, you really call me on my shit.
Totally derail you.
Yeah.
That low-hanging fruit. Yeah. So easy to grab.
But it's like when I'm in, say, London and I'm doing stand-up, you've got literally 90 comedy gigs in London proper, right?
Yeah, yeah.
People know what to do at a comedy show because it's part of the culture.
Mm-hmm.
People know in Spain what to do when you're going to an art gallery.
Yeah.
And they know what to do when you're going to a Comic-Con. They bring that same kind of vibe almost to it of like, it just feels more...
Cosmopolitan.
Yeah, there you are.
That's a word for it.
There's Tintin cosplayers. There you go.
Love it.
So that's better.
That's great.
I saw like a sexy Obelix. Oh, man. There, a lady dressed as Obelix.
Really?
Yeah, her boyfriend was Asterix. She was sexy Obelix. And you know that Obelix outfit on a lady that's sexy? Pretty good.
Pretty sexy.
Pretty sexy outfit. And you would not expect.
You were carrying the men here.
There you are. Huh? Any men here? There we are.
You know what I'm... Yeah.
I know the thing. That's right. Of course, I know what the thing is.
It's weird that his name is Obelisk.
Yeah.
Which Obelisk is a... You know, I like a men here, but then they call it a men here. I don't know how to pronounce it.
Sorry. That's right. And his catchphrase is, I'm going to get my rocks off. And then he throws.
That's right. Are there any men here?
Do you think Asterix and Obelix kill the Romans with their punching? It seems like they must. Like when you punch a Roman, when you punch a Roman into the next country, you've killed him, correct?
Here's the question. Does the word paf sound lethal?
Well, look at the flight that you get on that, like when the guy's going flying in the air.
Yep, that always shows them in the bushes after, though.
Hmm.
There's always bushes around. See, in those days, lots of bushes to break your fall.
Do you know what I'm going to think is...
Tell me.
You got the druids there, and the druid makes the special potion and gives them all the get-a-fix and makes them all strong. I'm betting that other vegetables make you slightly strong. And so I think like the Romans are probably slightly stronger.
Spinach?
Yeah, spinach is a good example.
Yeah.
The Romans are slightly stronger than a normal human being would be. So when Asterix gives them the old punchy punch,
garlic.
They survive. Garlic, well.
Makes your breath strong.
Actually, it's interesting that you bring that up, David.
Oh, okay.
Because at this Comic-Con that I was at...
Wait, you're distracted. You have something to say about Asterix and Obelix.
There was a Popeye exhibit.
Oh.
Let me go to this first.
Oh, really?
And Popeye originally got his strength from garlic.
Is that right?
Yeah, that was the original thing. He would eat garlic, and that would make him strong. And then
he sold out to the spinach lobby.
He did, basically, yeah. Like, they wanted kids to eat spinach, and Popeye was so popular, they went, could he eat spinach? And went, sure, he can eat spinach, and so here you go with that.
Well, he's strong to the finish.
That's right.
Because he eats the spinach.
There's no rhyme for garlic.
That was the problem. They looked for it over and over
That's
again.
That's right. I'll punch you in your cowlick because I've got fists full of garlic. Yeah, there you are.
You have to see the kind of a New York garlic.
Yeah, and you don't want Popeye having a New York accent.
No.
Not at all. No, I'm done with my asterisk talk.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, there was a lot of Tintin stuff. I brought you some Tintin stuff.
You did. Thank you very much. I'll thank you on the air.
Tintin or Tonton.
Tintin.
Or Tonton. Or Tauntaun, as they say on Star Wars.
Yeah. The famous character Tauntaun.
I would like to see the Tauntaun with actually the hair lick that Tintin has.
Oh, I wish that I had time this weekend to draw.
Oh, you don't. Listen, let me tell you what you got, David.
I'm going to be late. I'm going to be late on Saturday.
Okay.
I'm going to be up all night drawing Tintin as Tauntaun.
You know what? I think you're getting incorrect in this.
What?
Is you've got hours at the con to draw.
Oh, okay.
You know, you just sit there and you draw, and then people go, what are you doing? I'm drawing the title card. For what? For this podcast. And unlike being at Fan Expo, when you say I do a podcast, the hip young people will go, oh, I understand what you're talking about completely.
Oh, really?
And not, what's a podcast? I'm confused.
What are T-shirts?
Yeah, what are T-shirts? What's a podcast? Yeah. Who are you people? I'm cold. And then they walk into a wall, and then they just, like, pass out.
We met a lot of people going through insulin shock while we were at Fan Expo.
Well, the weird thing about this con is it's free, right?
Yeah.
So you'd think you would get more wandering crazies, but you don't. They're actually, like, a much more sensible group of folks.
Sensible crazies.
Yeah.
Basically, a lot of
respectful, sensible folks.
You have a lot of ladies who look like my mom in the early 1960s.
Okay. That's I don't know what that means.
Well, you know, headscarves and glasses.
And disappointed.
And disappointed. Endlessly disappointed.
My son, the artist.
That's my mom in the 80s.
So it's a, so it's a bunch up. Of women.
I said 1960s.
All right. So it's a bunch of women going around to tables going, you can't make a living in the arts.
Exactly.
And Marv Newland goes, I think I can.
I think I did.
Yeah, I think I did. David Boswell. I think I do. I think I'm fine.
Yeah. No, I still don't think you can.
You don't think you can?
No.
Charles Schultz never made enough.
I know there are examples, but in my very deepest part of my inner being.
Oh, ignore that. Just go with facts. Forget that. You don't need to go inner part of your being. There's actually documented evidence. So forget that inner part of.
Okay.
It's not a spiritual journey. It's just the facts. If you want to go with odds, we could play the odds game. That is possible.
Okay. Okay. I had a question. Now I forgot. I was just going to ask you about.
I've got a trivia question for you later.
Oh, okay.
On too.
Okay. Okay. All right. I'll try and think of my question.
All right. Here's what I was looking through. By the way, I was looking through my old box of original art.
Oh.
All right. And so for stuff for the Comic Con, and I stumbled across an old ad for the Footlights Club.
Awesome.
And this is where Dave and I sort of met. Was at the sketch group called the Footlights Club. So it's a.
There's my home phone number.
Why don't you read out loud? What's it say there?
Footlights Club.
Yeah.
Auditioning now. Look at all that letter set I used.
That's very well done.
Yeah, I used quite a bit of letter set from a stencil. And then this is typed on probably my mum's typewriter at her work.
Right. While she's saying to you, you can't make a living in the arts.
Yeah, yeah. For actors, singers, etc., interested in performing their own comedy material.
So we were looking for singers.
The Footlights Club have appeared in films for BCIT. Have done their own half-hour television show,
right.
And have also appeared on the Vancouver show, which is not actually true.
No, it's not true. It was gonna happen. We got
interested.
Bumped, we got bumped twice.
Once phone Dave.
We got bumped by Katie Lang, and we got bumped by the Thompson twins.
You can phone me at 596-9235.
That's right. Now this leads to another thing. So so along with that, there was a we did our thing for North Delta Senior Secondary School.
Yes.
And so I've got the school paper here. Mm. Now, were you still at
that? That was the other thing that I tried to do when I was there.
What was that?
Well, I wanted to have the Footlights Club, but I also wanted to start a humorous newspaper.
Oh, what was it going to be called?
I can't remember now.
Okay.
And I went to the teacher, and we had to get a sponsor. You know, you have to have a sponsor teacher to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to the sponsor teacher, and I said, you know what I'd like to do is I'd like to do like a humorous paper, like, you know, like National Lampoon or something like that, but just like a small kind of like a one pager or whatever.
Right.
You know, and we'll provide the material for it, and da da da. And she's like, "Oh, okay." And then she goes, "Oh, that's a good idea. We'll start up a newspaper." So they started a school newspaper. but it had no comedy in it. And they didn't want any of me in it.
So. Well, you're not. I think I have that paper in front of me right now.
Okay.
It was called The Polaris.
The Polaris.
Yes. There are pictures of Bill the Cat in here that people have drawn because that was popular at the time.
Sure was.
Now, here's my
trivia. He said Black or something like that.
Yes, he did. He does say Black. All right, here's my trivia for you. They've got an article here on the footlights. Okay. Now, the footlights, when you left school.
I did leave school.
You did leave school. The Footlights Club was going to remain in the school. But we wanted to set up an outside of the school Footlights Club as well.
Yeah.
What was the name of the outside of the school Footlights Club going to be? That you were a part of this group. This was a comedy group you were part of.
I don't know.
In 1985.
I really don't remember.
It was called The Creative Gage.
Oh, not
that's
bad.
That's in print.
G-A-G-E.
G-A-G-E, that's
it's correct. Kind of a play on words, because a gage is a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
So there you go. I was looking up like, hey, how about some Dave trivia? I'm going to try to do that now every episode, is give you trivia from your own past.
Thank you. I don't remember it, because I don't remember what happened to me last
week. I don't
week.
Remember that at all either, yeah, but no, like I'm reading the article, and it's an article I wrote.
So this isn't when I went to school. This is after I left?
No. Are you looking at the yearbook that's in front
of
you?
No, I was looking at the newspaper.
The newspaper is after you left, right? Because it's like 1985.
Because I saw there was some pictures of sporty girls in the back, and it just reminded me when I was in grade 12, and I was at a school dance, and the sporty girl asked me to dance.
Is this sporty girl from the Spice Girls?
No.
Okay.
Just, you know, like a girl who, athletic girl. Girls,
okay,
girls who are involved in the athletic side of the school.
Okay.
Because, you know, like school was...
A real gym
when
rat.
We went to school was kind of more divided than it is now, it seems to me. Like, when we went to school, like, if you weren't like a jock kind of person...
Mm-hmm.
Then you didn't participate in like student council necessarily.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like that kind of all was in that kind of area of school, you know. But we were like in the.
By the way, there's an article on the same paper. You'll see like what's on the cover here.
Well,
is that like I am appointed to communications. There you go.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Student body.
So you were on student council.
I was on student council.
But it was rare, though, right? And you probably didn't feel like you really fit in with some of the people in that group of people.
No, we were angry loners.
Yeah. And so anyway, this girl, I didn't know her. She asked me to dance at the school dance.
Yeah. And your mother said, there's no money in dancing.
There's no money in dancing.
So I don't want my son.
I don't know why I always brought her to school dances with me. It's really silly.
She was trying to negotiate you a good deal.
Yeah. And so I danced with her. It was a slow dance. I danced with this girl, and she started kissing me on the neck.
Oh.
So I went home.
Oh, well, you could have gotten
I think she was
hickeys. There you go. There's a young David Dedrick showing you a little picture of yourself.
Oh, this must be Burnsview.
Yeah. Oh. There you go.
Okay, that's not... Okay. Is it... No. I designed an inside graphic for the my grade 10.
Oh, cool.
One. Yeah.
No, this is when you were in grade 9.
I never bought...
Or ninth grade if you're in a different part of North America.
I never bought a yearbook except for the year I graduated.
Oh, okay.
So I wouldn't buy 7, 8, 9. I would only buy 10 and 12.
Okay. It would be creepy if you bought them now and you weren't in school. Mm. So probably for the best that you wouldn't do that. But if you do want to look at your yearbook, you could always go to your school and they would have it there at the library.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Most schools will have the old yearbooks. This is a pretty sloppily put together one, though.
Yes.
Look at this, and even for the day.
Because our grade 10 one was hard bound. It had it was actually a properly bound book. That is a, looks like it was made on, with someone's, like a dad brought in.
This is made on toilet paper. It's completely out of pressed.
Construction paper. And
yeah, pressed toilet paper. No, I was looking at the school paper that I had there, and there's like about maybe 18 articles, and I'm in 7 of them.
Oh, that's
so
good.
I seem busier than I felt like I was at the time.
Yeah, no,
that's from a guy who's like skipping out of school most days.
You're like my brother. I have a
you
brother.
You take that back. No, I don't know. It's fine.
You're like my brother. Like my brother.
Which brother are we talking about?
My brother Cam.
Okay.
If you ask Cam about our past, oh, that thing that was it? That was the worst thing that ever. Oh, that was terrible. What a thing that happened that time. Oh, this is awful. I don't even remember what you're talking about. Like it doesn't. There's no.
Wait,
I don't remember
because you were
things.
The brother beating him up. It was one of those situations.
No, I don't think it was that. I think I just have. I have a different filter, of memories. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So for him, he filters out the good. He's like, remember that good times? He's like, I don't remember that. The time that we went to the thing and it was so much fun. Nope. Do you remember that time that guy did us wrong, and that was the worst thing that ever happened? You know what I mean? Like this seems to be that kind of memory, right? And I don't know. Maybe he did have it worse than I did. I don't know, but. but I don't.
How much younger is he than you?
3 years.
Okay. All right.
Three and a bit years.
That's enough time for people to. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's enough time for the legend of you to have passed from the school as well.
Oh no.
You're not living in any shadow.
Well, he was still there when I was there.
Okay.
Because he told me the story that he was walking down the hallway when he first went there, and you went. You started in grade 8.
Yeah.
If you went to the school, the elementary school that I did, which was right beside the junior high, you went in grade 7 into the junior high.
So it went from 7 to 10, this school.
For one particular group of people from that, yeah.
Right, which is great because then you get the largest difference in heights.
Yeah.
As you get people
most that, pronounced.
Yeah, you get like lumberjack-looking guys with chest hair and full beards.
Yeah.
And then you get like a fetus is walking down the hall as well who's just learning to walk.
The small. Well, I always say there's the Tyrannosaurus rexes walking through, and then there's us, the small rodents. You're trying to the small mammals trying to make it through,
and they're asking the rodents to just scratch them in places because they can't reach with their little tiny arms.
It's really humiliating. But he was walking down the hallway, and this guy grabbed him and picked him up and put his head up right through the ceiling, like the acoustic tile. You know, they had those.
Yeah.
Just right through that.
Yeah, that seems a bad thing to do.
And but someone else walking by said, "Hey, don't do that. That's Dave Dedrick's brother."
Mm-hmm.
And he went, "Oh," and he put my brother down and said, "Sorry about that."
Yeah.
And that was the end. He wasn't bothered anymore.
So what does that how's that story make you feel?
I had more cachet than I knew.
Okay.
I didn't take any advantage of. I felt like I was an invisible person.
I just
like
that this is such a casual bully that he's like, "Man, I'm fine. Okay, all right, then I'm not."
No,
do
there
that,
was but. There was that at school. There was casual bullying.
Casual bullying.
Oh my god, yeah.
Like, but to
there were guys who were bullies who didn't know they were bullies.
Mm. But when you're putting a guy's head through the ceiling, you got to know, right? You can't go like, "What's the big deal?" Like, do you really not know you're a bully if you're head ceiling a guy?
I think
that's
that
classic.
Yeah, no,
that's like doing a wedgie. You can't just go like.
You think you're being funny.
Oh, you're just goofing around.
There was when
the,
I was
the
in
guy, the guy's in on the joke.
When I came to elementary school, which I did in grade 6, it's the one that in Delta. There was a guy there who would threaten to punch me or whatever if I didn't tell him a joke. So I always had to have a joke ready when I saw him. I don't think he thought of himself as bullying.
That's the guy that opened Punchlines.
That's right. I don't think Mark. I don't think he saw himself.
Rich Elwood. That was his name.
Oh, I don't think he saw himself as a bully. Like if you said that's bullying.
He was just an artistic motivator.
That's right. But you know what I mean, right? Like,
you know what I love is I would love to see.
Are you disagreeing with me? Do you think he saw himself as a bully?
No, but here's what I want. Here's what I want. Okay. I want like your mom. And I'm going to bring up your mom a little bit. I like your mom on one side and I want him on the other. And he's be like, "I'll punch you if you don't commit to a life in the arts." And your mom's, "There's no money in it." And it's like, now the choice I've got to make. Though I take a punch in the face, but the financial security that I need.
Yeah.
And like, what do you do? There's your real ethical dilemma.
Well,
not an ethical dilemma, just a straight dilemma.
Well, I took the middle road, which is to be miserable doing what you don't want to do.
Oh, okay.
That's the middle
road. So you went back and became a teacher.
Oh, I wish.
And just spread it to the other kids, just bitterness, just sat there with your cup of tea.
I would be a good teacher.
Okay. Well, you could still be a teacher.
No.
That's why was that?
That boat
too
is,
sexy?
That boat is
you're too sexy and the girls can't take it?
Yeah.
Here's my
the
problem.
Girls can't take
here's my problem with Indiana Jones.
He's too sexy.
He is, and he sleeps with the students, obviously. So screw that guy. Oh, I don't know.
Think I disagree with you.
Okay, well, all right. Here's the thing. What's her name? Marion? Who's is that? His girlfriend in the first
one?
That
was not his student. That was his mentor's daughter,
who was way underage at the time, though, right? Like really, like 14 or
something.
No,
it did not say that.
Pretty young.
It did not say
that. Hey, dear audience out there who's listening, I'm right on this one, I think, right?
I don't think so.
It was pretty underage.
That's right. She was 6 years old.
Okay, so the girls,
what a classic movie.
The girls in his class are doing the "I love you" and stuff.
But he's totally he's flustered by it. He's not like, "Oh, hey."
Is he? The guy who like
he's flustered.
He's really flustered.
Yes, he is. That's the cute part of Indiana Jones, that you see him, you know, running around a temple being chased by a ball and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then, you know, hating snakes and jumping on a plane. And then next thing you know, he's in a classroom wearing a tweed jacket and glasses.
Okay. You guys let me know if you think that he sleeps with the students or
he's
not.
He's flustered by the ladies.
All right. Okay.
It's true.
I'm just thinking, you sleep with the underage daughter of your friend, you're going to have the ethical...
I don't think she was underage.
Oh, no, she was underage. There's no...
Does it explicitly say that, or are you? Is it implied?
I think we're in Adventure Time territory right now. I think I know this for sure. I know this for sure that she was underage at the time. Yeah, I could look it up, but... Listen, audience, am I correct on this one, right? Okay, there you go.
If he is right, don't tell him. Don't tell him he's right, because he's obviously
you
a big head.
Come to the VanCalf and tell us in person.
No, don't tell. Don't. Yeah. You can come.
Do you know what's
I
nice?
I don't want to hear it.
Here's why. Because we've got a set of buttons that we're selling for two for a dollar.
Oh, yeah.
One is a lovely sneaky dragon button, and the other one says Dave was wrong.
I blame Dave.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Well, I would have gone for the Dave was wrong buttons. But I blame Dave also works. also a good thing.
I blame Dave is more of like a catchphrase of the show. Mm-hmm. That Dave was
now, why would you not want to be a teacher, though you would be a good teacher? What's the problem? Aside from the fact that right now all the teachers are, you know, having a hard time.
Yeah, my wife's a school teacher, and she was just told that the government has informed teachers that they're going to take away 10% of their pay. It just seems like bullying. Like, it's really kind of odd. Like, what's happening right now?
Now
is
students have to tip. Is that what's going to happen?
The government
really
is
good classes.
The election's coming up, uh-huh. And so the government needs a villain to make itself look good, because right now it's got this the pipeline thing happening.
Okay,
which it doesn't look good on, and so it wants to look good. So it needs a straw man to attack.
Okay,
and so what it's trying to do is provoke the teachers into striking, and so it's working. They are going to strike.
Right, they don't really have an option if you're going to knock their pay down 10%.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to take. We lose all our benefits, our healthcare benefits in June.
That's been
taken away from us. So you're
trying to get the kids sick now.
That's not good. So
that's awful.
Yeah.
Why are you okay? You're trying to get a villain, and teachers are the one that you're going for.
But if you told someone that, they would still blame teachers. You know, we don't like teachers. They're an easy villain.
Do you think so? Do you think people don't like teachers?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
Because they're seen as they have an easy job. They get off. They get 2 months off a year.
Do people really think teachers have an easy job?
Oh yeah, you talk to people like my mom and yeah.
They think you've got the grade in the papers and everything. They think that's an easy job.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't know that they have the after. No, that's ridiculous. How do they?
They don't. People don't know what other people do for their living, right?
Well, okay. No, all right. Well, that's a little. Oh, here's why that's bullshit. Because you've been to school, right?
Yeah.
So you know what assholes you guys were. Then people have to deal with it, right?
Exactly.
Like you're a jerk, and they have to. Well, you know what I mean. And you got to take it with a big smile and face.
Yeah.
And
I was a terrible student.
Some kids are throwing other kids through the freaking ceiling, apparently, in the hallway. And that's the casual bully. That's not even your hardcore jerk.
That's not even hardcore jerk, yeah.
Yeah. And that's not counting having to educate these guys and then deal with parents. Oh, man. Does anyone think teachers have it easy? That sounds ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
Lisa would like to hear you say that. But yeah,
it's ridiculous.
No, I agree.
That seems like the kind of thing we might have thought like years and years ago. But I think enough information has come out now that, you know, on that kind of stuff. But is that the only reason you wouldn't want to be a teacher, is because they're treated so badly?
Oh, no, it's something like that. I have a terrible illness called it's the too late illness. And it's just this feeling like I missed the boat.
What boat was that?
Well, let's say becoming a teacher when I went to university. That would be the time you become a teacher.
Okay.
Not in your late 40s.
Right.
That's a bad time to become a teacher.
Okay.
Because really, you can't go back to school.
You can't go back to school.
You can't go back to school.
Why is that?
And the amount of money you invest into it now, you won't get back.
All right.
You know what I mean?
Now, something like, something though like a night school thing, right? Where you're teaching something that you know how to.
I think you're thinking of night court?
Yeah, I'm thinking that you could be a judge at night court. Harry Anderson style.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. Sure. Or shave your head and be what they call a bull.
I could do that too.
Yeah.
I'm full of it.
Bull must not have had to have a lot of training. Bull just basically stood there and was kind of a goon, right?
Yeah.
That was all Bull's job.
That was his job.
What the hell? What job was Bull?
I think his job was a docent.
What is that?
He was like a tour guide. He led groups of people through the courtroom to see how it worked.
I don't think that's how.
No, that's not what he was.
No, I think he was the guy who was like, and then, oh, I'm not going to run away.
I didn't say he was a good tour guide. I said,
okay, I don't think he was a tour guide. Okay, but so say you wanted to like teach people cartooning or something, or you know what, teach them about comic books from Europe.
Oh, I love doing that.
Okay, well then you could do that. That's the kind of thing you could teach, like at a night school course or something.
Oh yeah, I mean you could do that, but I just mean as an actual like.
Proper teacher.
Yeah, proper.
So you're saying night school teachers aren't proper teachers?
Real money.
You know,
no,
I did that, right?
No.
Really insulted.
But
right
what
now.
I'm saying is like real money with 2 months off.
Okay.
That kind of teacher. That's a nice job.
I understand.
Yeah.
You do get paid for the night school courses, by the way, if you want to teach those, or at your local community center.
Okay.
Or you could teach how to podcast. You could also do that.
There you go. I don't want any more competition. There's enough podcasts out there.
Okay. Fair enough. No, you can, okay. I guess I just, a friend of mine who's about, let's see, how much younger is she than me? She's about 3 years younger than me. She just became a lawyer, recently.
That's good.
It's not, I mean, we live in such a culture that people change their profession. My aunt-in-law is like radically changing her profession. Like people do. It's okay.
She's becoming an aunt-in-law?
Well, she is my aunt-in-law. I think that's what the heck you'd call her. I don't know. I got too many new relatives now that I can't keep track. I got step this and I don't know that and in-law this and one of those and I don't know. Listen, I'll just see them all on Christmas. We'll all sing a song.
Sure.
It'll be fine.
Oh, yeah.
No, I didn't know that you wanted to teach.
Oh, I wouldn't say it was like a life dream, but...
What subject would you like to teach?
Oh, I think probably English would have been my...
Again,
preferred.
Let's not keep putting this in the past. So you want to, so you'd be into teaching English. Like what type of, like to, what, the grade 9, 10s?
Yeah, I would, believe it or not, I would enjoy teenagers. I enjoy teenagers more than children.
Okay.
I like people when they're more developed.
You can take them in a fight.
No, there's more to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you have like a really good English teacher that kind of inspired you and that's why this feels this way?
We had a couple of really good English teachers at our junior high school, I thought.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Tipple, for one.
Okay.
Did you ever have him for English? That you attended?
Is this the guy? Is that with the big mustache?
Yes, he had a very, very big mustache that you drew a gag about in my grade 10 annual.
Did I? All right. Very good. You've named him, so I will not say anything beyond that point about him. And moving on to the next guy.
Well, what I liked about him is he ran a class Well, the class was dystopian literature. One of the nice things at our junior high school is because we had quarters rather than semesters.
Okay.
And so there was, I think, 3 quarters in a year. And then you could choose the classes that you wanted, you know, you had to take certain classes, but you could choose what you wanted. So you could take French Revolution or American history, or you could take science fiction, or you could take horror. Or you could take dystopian literature, you know, this would incorporate the syllabus into these sort of thematic classes.
Okay, what would be an example of a dystopian literature book?
Well, in that class we read The Player Piano by Kurt Vonnegut.
Okay.
And then we read The Chrysalids by John Wyndham.
All right.
Those are both really good books. I love them both a lot. And so, but what was great in that class is that you could get extra marks by reading more books. Hello up my alley. So yeah, I read like The Day of the Triffids and I think I read his entire box of books that he had
okay.
for the class. And then he gave me a couple of books to read. I read Ken Kesey's Sometimes a Great Notion, which I have to say for grade 10 boy was way over my head, but I still read it because it was interesting.
Yeah.
And
they should give you stuff that's
over your
head.
I can't remember the other
book
he gave me to read. But yeah, he gave me a couple of books to read and so I read them and I got more marks, you know, and yeah, like I really liked that class just because it was about what you achieved. And the unfortunate part was at the end of the course, we had to write down what mark we thought we should get. And of course, I wrote a B+. Although clearly I should have got an A because, you know, I'd ace the class. But I just couldn't bring myself to write A.
You're doing a Canadian humble thing.
Yeah. So I got a B+.
No!
No, I'm just joking. He said, no, you're an A.
Okay, good, good.
So don't be falsely
Dave,
modest.
Dave, you're a real A, is what he said. Right. Thanks. Wait a minute.
So what's going on? Yeah.
No, I had a pretty good English teacher. I forgot her name, but yeah, she got me a book that other people weren't reading. It was the Canterbury Tales one.
Okay.
And so it had the old English on one side and it had the modern on the other. And that was fun.
A little Chaucer.
Trying to read a little bit of that and this.
Very funny stories.
Yeah, and saucy.
Yes. Yeah, very funny. And it just kind of, it's hard to crack. You got to. I read it in university, so we had to read it in the original.
Yeah,
format.
I was reading a lot of Shakespeare at the time, and so it was not so off the. Yeah, it wasn't a million miles away.
Yeah.
And something I liked that she did with Shakespeare in her class was she'd have us read it out loud, which I think is the best
way.
I love it. How you really like absorb it.
Yeah.
Why don't you like the reading Shakespeare out loud?
Because there's some people who are good at it, and there's lots that aren't.
Uh-huh.
And it's just really boring. Listen to their droning.
We had a pretty solid room of people.
That's good. I'm glad for you. No, I liked in English literature class, we had a teacher. He's British. So he had very nice tones and he read to us. He read Hamlet to us. And what I liked about him was he would make it interesting for you. Like even before he started reading it, he would be talking to us in class, and he would suddenly look out the window and go, oh, what's that? Is that cloud? Is that cloud shaped like a whale? And everyone would turn and look and wonder what he's talking about. And then in Hamlet, there's
this... And then he'd steal your stuff.
That's right. And then in Hamlet, there was a scene in there where he's pretending to be mad, and he points out the window and says, what kind of cloud is that? Is that shaped like a whale? And he starts... And so you're like, oh, that's what he was doing. And so it brought you into the story, though, right?
Yeah.
So if you weren't like paying total attention, you're like, oh, wait, what the heck? But he was a very good reader, and so I preferred having him read it than having a class of people.
I'm going to throw.
And then he said,
I'm going to throw a quick plug out for a short comedy thing that I did with my sister-in-law, Vicky Van. If you go to YouTube, Hamlet Interrupted. It's called Hamlet Interrupted.
And why does that not feature a certain person who's sitting in the room with me, whose name happens to be Ian Boothby, and whose initials are IB?
Yeah, that's what. Okay. Did you ever do the detective books? Because that's terribly done, what you just did there. And Nick Harrison as well. So, yeah, go check that out. That's
Nick Harrison, I believe, someone whose initials are NH.
Yeah, that's right. That's a skill Dave has. Yeah. He can tell you what your initials are if you tell him your name.
I can do that right away.
Yeah, he's really good. Unless your name is something in Chinese and it's not, you know, with North American lettering.
I just say something racist.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go. You'd be a terrible teacher then.
I would be terrible. Yes, I would.
Unless you're one of those teachers who's, you know, the racist teachers. They used to be around. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They used to be around.
What would you do better with, a strict teacher or a slack teacher? Well, a teacher really, who wanted to be your friend teacher who was your teacher?
Okay, I really need to know what the subject is.
Oh, really?
Yeah, give me a subject and I'll tell you.
Oh, let's say English.
English? Yeah. I can do with slack, then I'm fine because I'm going to read enough on my own that it doesn't matter and I'll be able to carry that. If it's a math teacher, I need it strict because I'm going to be so bored that I need someone to keep me awake. You know. But if it's a subject that I kind of get a grasp on and I'm all right with, then I can go with slack and I'll be okay because I work very hard at the things that I sort of understand. And the other things, mind wanders and hard to get it back.
Without boasting, I'm gonna boast.
I'll have to shut up now.
I'm gonna boast. I'm pretty charming, and so when I was in high school, I could charm teachers and have them wrapped around my little finger.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't good for me though, because I just slacked off then. What I needed was I need a taskmaster. You know, I need a teacher who would set clearly defined parameters that I would, you know, that the classroom had to work within.
Gotcha.
And I like that. I like that in a teacher. And I think it's harder now. I don't think he could do, if he was still taught, he couldn't do what he did then. Things like, you know, it was a rule that if you came late and the doors were closed, he would not open the doors for you.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. You came late and you wouldn't get into class. I don't think teachers could do that now because I don't think you're allowed to lock kids out of the class so they're wandering the hallways. And one thing I always liked was we had to do a mark sheet. So we had to write down all the marks that we got. And then we had to total it up. And he said to us, you know, so total it up. And if you don't finish your mark sheet and I see it, you will lose a letter grade. So we're like, okay, better do your mark sheet. So at the end of the first term, I got my report card and I got a C- in the class. I did not have a C. I had an A. So I went to him and I said, I'm sorry, I think there was a mistake made. I got a C- on my report card when I should have got an A. And he goes, oh, well, let me see your mark sheet. So I gave it to him and he looked at it and said, yep, you should have got an A. Only you forgot to total it up, so you get a B+. I said, you're right. And I wasn't mad.
Yeah.
Because he told us, right? It was my fault. I did not have that. If I was thinking, I should have just added it up before I showed it to him, right? But I wasn't thinking. So, and I wasn't mad because I knew I would ace the next two semesters or two terms and then I would still get an A. So I wasn't killing myself. But I thought it was funny.
Yeah. Unless you're on the fence and that was the one thing that will throw you off and then you don't graduate. Then it's not as good. But.
No.
But when but you're I, up, yeah.
I think if that's a situation...
When you're up on the mountaintop and you've had to take a couple of steps down from the mountain.
Knowing that teacher, I have a feeling that he would be pretty fair if the circumstances required it.
I mean, as you know, like I've said before, I like I attended school as little as possible. And so I kind of found that most of my classes weren't 100% necessary and you could just like figure it out, pick up the book.
I did that with Latin at university.
I couldn't do it with math. I could do it with biology. I could do it with most things.
Yeah.
On my final day at school, I took a test and I cheated. I'm sorry, everybody. I cheated on the test.
Oh my God.
I wrote a bunch of stuff on my penis. Thigh. Well, oh, close to it. Okay. Actually, quite close. Oh. I wrote it in a place that they would not look, but that I could access from my desk.
So penis was not
it
a good
was,
idea.
It was close to it. Yeah. It was close to that area, but it was a place that they would not be able to search legally. Okay. And so I got through things.
Oh.
Yeah.
I can honestly say I never cheated on a test. I can also honestly say that I failed many tests, mm-hmm. but I did not cheat on them. Mm-hmm. Mostly math.
I think by that point,
not a math whiz.
I think by that point I'd realized, and this was just for me, and hey, everybody, stay in school and study hard. But for me, by that point, I just needed to get out of there. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, anything that would get me out the door and onto the things I should be doing, that's what I wanted to do.
Footlights rehearsals,
yeah. Getting down to the CBC and writing things there, going to the library and reading other books, anything else, going to see a movie. Yeah, any of that stuff was more important than that stupid biology class.
I loved school.
/ electronics class. Electronics class was the worst. I'm probably going to die from electrical shock because that class was so dull. And drafting put me off straight lines. Just put me off straight lines completely. They were so mean in that class that it was just like, I mean, if drafting was okay, I'd probably be a better artist just in general today. But they were so mean, like so mean.
You'd be okay with conscription if you'd been okay with that.
I get you because we have words. You see, as an English guy, you know words sometimes.
I do. I hated drafting. And what's funny is I thought I would do good at it. I like to draw.
I love to draw straight lines.
I'm fine with this.
I love a protractor. I love an angle. I love a T-square.
Apparently,
now I hate it. Apparently,
we were too messy.
Yeah.
And we weren't good at erasing lines.
Yeah.
That was my downfall.
Yeah. That's totally it.
Because you're like, good enough.
Look, dude, like if you're a teacher, right, and you have a kid that comes in who's like, enjoys drawing.
Yeah.
You're halfway there, right? Yeah. What do? Do you encourage him to pull him across that line? Or do you shame him back, like, way, you know? I think I had the teachers that were the break you down and then we'll build you up. But a lot of times the teachers forget the building you up part, you know, just leave you in that little pile of goo.
I think the drafting teacher is past the build you up. I think they're just all about breaking you down. They've had lost so many pencils and brushes, so they just can't stand it anymore.
Oh, so bad about those pencils.
They just can't stand anymore because you remember how strict it was? You had to, like, everything was all accounted for and you had to return everything to its particular place before people could leave the classroom.
Yeah, it was like art class I'm not going to say if the Nazis ran it because that's not fair to Nazis.
No.
You know, I mean...
No, it was if Nazi Martians ran it.
Yeah, it was just like, let's just suck all the fun out of drawing. Yeah. Completely suck all the fun out of drawing.
Yeah, it was strange.
Yeah.
It was strange.
It's like if you had gym class and completely took out anything fun and sporty, and it was just like, hard and fast running in place in a closet for like 2 hours.
You weren't allowed to play murder ball.
No, you just in a closet, and then you did chin-ups on the coat rack bar, and then you just had to run in your closet in the dark.
Yeah.
You know, that's basically what it would be
like. Sounds like a good workout, actually.
Yeah, it sounds like a great workout. Yeah, it's part of my in-the-closet workout.
you're starting something now, are you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you are.
Thanks. CloSFit.
Oh, I like it. Yeah. CloSFit?
Yeah.
You know what? Maybe you could teach that. That combines your two loves.
Closets and...
Well, here's the thing. If you taught that, then you wouldn't have to go in the gym yourself. You could. I mean, that would be enough.
In junior high school, I had an art teacher, and she would... And this was... Of course, this is going to sound wrong, and you're going to react badly.
She was always naked.
That would be awesome. Except for the fact that she's 400 years older than us. But no, she would give you like a neck massage during class. Mm-hmm. And for everyone. She would just walk around when you were drawing and she would just grab behind your neck and just give you like a nice little massage.
Right.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a person who likes like touchiness that much.
Right.
But I do like massages, so I was like all for it.
Okay.
Almost everyone else in the class did not like it.
Right.
I have to tell you.
Right. I mean, you just take off your shirt and lie on the table.
I would pretty much do that, yeah. I'd be like, I was like a
lower,
cat.
Lower.
I would start purring. As soon as her fingers touched my neck, I was just like, you know, I love that so much. But everyone else, they just thought it was a weirdo.
So what you're saying is anyone who's coming to Bankhaf, if they see you sitting there, give Dave a little neck massage.
That's right. He likes it.
Nothing wrong with it. He doesn't mind when a 4,000-year-old teacher does it. He is not going to mind when you do it.
You know what I mean.
Well,
I've never thought of it as being a harmful thing that she was doing.
Nope.
It just seemed like, you know, she was a hippie.
Yeah, that feels like it's...
She had her hair, you know, the straight down hair, and kind of looked like Buffy St. Marie, you know, and with her couch and sweater, and yeah, that's right. And yeah, she just liked to give you like a little massage. I thought it was great.
I'm all for it. Okay, yeah, but the problem, of course, you know the problem.
I know the problem. Times change.
No, the time back then was the same.
I know it was the same, but I mean, how we interpret those things change. Like in those days... You didn't go to the bad. You didn't go right to the bad. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You said this person likes to give a neck massage. You didn't say this creepy lady likes to touch young people's necks.
No, but here, okay. The flip, of course, being that there was enough teachers who were there who were taking advantage of students and would go too far and do things.
Yeah, I agree.
So that's what we know about now.
Yeah.
Thanks for ruining it, Ruiners.
But you know, the thing is that there has to be some kind of reward for teaching kids.
Yep.
You know, so.
And that's getting to rub their young necks. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Maybe you shouldn't be a teacher.
Their young nubile necks.
Yeah. I'm just saying, I got a neck thing.
It's a hand.
See, is it wrong if a student is like looking tense to just do butterfly kisses on the back of their neck? Is that wrong? I mean, it's the back of their neck, right? There's nothing sexual about the back of their neck.
There is nothing sexual
about the back of their neck.
There's no G.
Just with, and I'm using my eyelashes. Just a little butterfly kisses with my eyelashes going up the back of their neck. What's creepy about that?
Well, I've
got lovely eyelashes.
Well, I cuddle him in my arms. What's wrong?
What's wrong? What's your problem?
I don't want him to fall over.
Why is your mind going there? I think you're the one who's got the problem.
That's right.
Officer.
We're just two little spoons.
Anyway, I have to go door to door to tell you all this story. I'm moving into the neighborhood. My name's Dave. I also have a podcast. I'm not supposed to mention that while having this speech. But anyway, me and the wife are having barbecue some this issues. Weekend. Yeah, that's right. Please listen to our podcast.
Awesome.
You want a neck massage? There we go. A little of that.
Oh, yeah.
There you are.
Mm. Nice stuff.
Yeah. So what are you looking forward to with the weekend at the Van Caff? Is there something that you want to see while you're there?
Well, to be honest with you, I don't really know what I'm looking. Well, we do have a friend named Lily Fine.
Oh, that's true.
And she's
Snowden Fine.
Lily Snowden Fine, and she's showing some of her things. I'm looking forward to seeing that.
She's got a Tumblr page called Things Are Dumb.
Things Are Dumb. Yep.
And it's good stuff.
Yes,
and she's a very talented individual.
She's very
like stupidly talented. Like she tries, she'll try something. Like I'm going to try singing, and they're like, oh, that's you got a beautiful voice, and it's fantastic. Or she'll try improv, and she's really good at that. Yeah. And she's been on like TV when she was young. She's the voice of a kind of semi-famous cartoon character. She's one of those types, and now she's cartooning, and she's awesome at that. And what we've got to do is break her spirit.
That's right. A real jerk is what we're saying.
What we're doing is we're going to get your mom. Yep. We're going to get her to talk to her.
It's time for a little lecture.
Stop it. That's stop right. it, Cole.
Let's nip this in the bud.
Okay, because listen, we're a couple of guys in our 40s still trying to make it in cartooning.
Yeah.
We don't need this garbage, okay? We don't need young, fresh face coming in.
He's really talented. Another person I'm hoping there is a listener to the show, fellow listener.
You also listen to
the
show.
I listen to the show while I'm doing it.
Okay.
And Catherine Gross.
Oh yes,
and she has a Tumblr. She has a Tumblr as well. It's really good. She has kind of autobiographical comics.
Yeah, Gross with one S.
One S. That's right. Yeah. And
maybe it's Gross. I don't know.
It could be.
Oh, I'd feel terrible.
I would feel awful. Actually.
Wait. Then we're saying bad things about her name if it's not the other. Oh, damn it! All right, I got to get out of this somehow.
Let's just
Dave. Look outside. Is that a cloud?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Let's just call her KG.
Yeah, and the Sunshine Band.
Because she's pretty cagey.
Yeah, no, she's got some really good stuff. I met her when she was at a fundraiser for my cat, when my cat needed an operation.
Is that right?
And we were doing improv, and she and some other folks were drawing.
And you gave her a neck massage?
No, I did not.
Oh.
No, I did not. And she was drawing pictures of the scenes.
Nice.
And that's what we're going to be doing as well at Bad Cat.
Oh, and I think
she's
doing it there as well.
Yeah, she's doing that.
I think she's part of that. The fictionals will be doing a, what's it called? Draw this, you motherfucker?
Yeah, that's what it's called.
Okay.
Hey, you son of a bitch, draw this fucking scene. That's what it's called. Okay. It's all ages.
Sounds a little...
Bring the kids. There's going to be face painting as well.
It's fucking face painting.
That's right.
Yeah.
We will put any swear word on your child's face at all while Dave gives you a neck massage.
Your child a neck massage.
That's right. First of all, you sign a waiver when you come into the Van Caff.
Please sign it.
Oh, my God. Anyway, she's...
It's a new waiver.
I may be working with her on some stuff too.
Oh, really?
A separate project.
Oh, wow.
I don't say nothing until things are done.
Yeah.
I don't say nothing until things are done.
You have to hint at it.
And a friend of the show as well, Nina Matsumoto, should be there as well.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I'd like to see.
I believe she. I would like to see. I know Nina. For sure is. Yeah. She's bringing some new stuff as well.
Yeah.
She's great. I mentioned earlier Marv Newland. You guys out there have seen Bambi Meets Godzilla. He's done other things as well. But that's kind of a big famous thing that he did, Bambi Meets Godzilla.
Kind of famous.
Marv Newland will be there. David Boswell.
Will not be there.
What?
He will not be there.
Oh, he won't be?
He's had to cancel for reasons I don't know.
Oh, okay. Was it you?
It was on the website.
Was it you?
Because of that neck massage you gave me last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They call that one the snapper.
I didn't. Just yeah, that's not my neck. As I said, was what I said to him.
Oh, again, this is just taking a dark turn, a really dark turn. But look, come to the thing anyway. It's
what are you? What are you looking forward to?
What am I looking forward to? I'm looking forward to sitting down for a couple hours. That's gonna be nice. A little sit down.
Well, I like that, and I love meeting people who like our show.
Yeah,
I don't want to meet anyone. Anyone who doesn't like it, don't bother dropping by.
Yeah, you meet the people who like the show. I'll meet the people who have a lot of notes for me. That's who I get. We split them up that way.
Do you get notes?
No, I don't get. Do that's I get? Nice. No, you got to raise. You're raising a good point. Do I get notes on the show? I'm trying to think. I think there have been some people who have come up to me and said stuff, but it's always generally been positive.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think there's a lot aside from stop rambling, you douches, that you'd say about this show.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think the thing to say when people tell you that is you just say, you know what? I'm going to give you your money back right now. I'm going to give you back what you paid for the show.
You know what? They do give us their time, and I cannot
that's
give them
true.
The
can't
time
give back.
Back
the time.
Unless I lock them in a closet for an equal amount of time as the
doing
show
some
and just
CrossFit.
Go, here's your free here's your free time.
Doing some CrossFit.
Enjoy. Yeah. No, I do enjoy saying hi to people. I'm going to have some Simpsons comics. I enjoy signing those.
Okay.
I enjoy seeing friends of mine. Like we were doing a previous podcast, and James Lloyd, cartoonist James Lloyd from Futurama,
famous,
The Simpsons.
Famous cartoonist.
He dropped by twice and really, really fucked up our last podcast. If you listen to Completely Beatles, the Let It Be. No, wait. Get Back.
Let it
Get Back to Being Yellow in the Submarine.
Sure.
Which is also known as the White Album.
Yeah.
He interrupts us twice. But we're going to edit it so that you won't hear it. But if you hear us talking in the podcast, and it's like, so anyway, Dave, what I feel is, yeah, you know, another thing that then James has dropped by.
Yeah, that's hard because you have to like keep taking out parts to try and find a good kind of
cut point,
blend, segue kind of part. Yeah, and so pretty soon the show is 15 minutes long.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Which actually would be nice with Completely Beatles.
Well,
for a change.
One of the things I am looking forward to is I want to pick up some mini comics from people that I haven't gotten any stuff from.
I do that every year.
Yeah. The people that do Tiny Kitten Teeth will be there as well.
Yes,
from Perth, Australia.
Frank Gibson.
And Gibson Frank.
I can't remember the... She's so talented.
She is really talented.
Damn it all.
She's really talented at remembering names as well.
Yeah, she knows.
A skill which we
have. She always remembers mine. No, not at all.
No,
they know our faces.
Yeah, look up our number. Yeah. Wait, no, sorry. That was from our last show. That was a Beatles song
wait,
as well.
That's a nice reference.
Did we mention...
That was a nice callback.
Yeah, that's a nice callback to a show that you didn't listen to yet. Wait, will it have been out? No, it won't. That show will be out in
that
a couple of days. God damn it. I feel like Doctor Who. You know, I feel like... And I know he's called the Doctor. I get it. I know. Yeah. I know.
Nope.
But it feels like I'm remembering things that haven't happened yet. That's what jet lag does to you.
Sure.
I have spent a lot of time living in the future, Dave.
Okay.
In the future.
I'm not...
I was in Thursday when you were in Wednesday.
I'm not blaming you.
I was in Thursday before Wednesday put its pants on.
Okay.
For fuck's sake. All right?
Sure.
And time travels hard. That's all I'm saying. It's a little bit difficult.
Oh, speaking of that...
Yeah, we're gonna be going to. Oh, we should do what we normally do, which is you say you're never gonna go see a movie, and then we go see that movie.
Okay, I'm never going to go see.
You won't get the full name. No one can remember the first name, the full name of this film.
The X-Men: Days of Future Past.
Oh, that's pretty good. All right, yeah, I think you remembered it correctly. It sounds about right.
I will never go see that movie. Actually, I want to see that movie. I wouldn't say that about it.
Mm-hmm.
I do kind of want to see it. So
you know what I'm thinking?
It looks like there's some 70s stuff happening in it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sucking flares. I'm all over that.
Well, I've got high hopes for this film. And
okay.
I think the highest of hopes that I have is that Halle Berry will barely be in it.
Okay. And that the ant will move the rubber tree plant? Is that your other?
I don't think Ant-Man's in this one.
Oh, okay.
I think Edgar Wright has that for next year sometime with Paul Rudd.
That's taking a long time for that film.
Is it?
Don't you think so?
I think you can only release them so far. Like, well, you can get an Ant-Man this year. You'd be like, I'm getting a Guardians, I'm getting a Captain America, now I'm getting an Ant-Man. You just gave me Thor 2. Look, buddy, calm down. Pace it out. All right? And then after your Ant-Man, now we're getting your Avengers 2. After that, we're going to get your Captain America 3. You're going to get your Thor 3. And then, I don't know what you're going to get. Maybe a Guardians 2.
What do you think of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the end of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
You know what? I've been on board with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. from the get go.
Yeah.
I thought the last episode was okay. I thought they really went. You know what?
I like where they went with it. I have to say.
Yeah, I mean, I like where they kicked into gear, and I liked what they did. But I think they went beyond what their budget could do. You know. Yeah. So. You know,
that's a problem.
You got to write for the budget you got, you know, and if that means you have to make it a very verbal show, then you have to make it a verbal show. But it felt like, you know, they blew a lot of their money on big glamorous things in foreign climates, you know, in the early episodes. And then there was a lot of like talking in small rooms, you know, but I really did like the show. Again, the episode that I had a problem with was the one we discussed where, you know, the one character, you know, got raped, the guy.
Yeah.
And then with the twists that have come in the episode, that will never be resolved.
No.
You know, the later ones, which I thought was like, well, this is a weird choice to be doing this. And then I was worried they were just going to get too dark for no reason. But yeah, I thought they did all right
with it. They
kept
it pretty light. They never really let it go full on dark, even though it took a dark turn.
Mm-hmm.
In a way that I didn't expect. So I quite enjoyed it.
And I am hoping that they're going to, you know, I mean, you can't make it all reliant on the movies. But I think my prediction is Guardians of the Galaxy is going to do really, really well. And I hope that that means them doing a little bit more alien-y stuff in that show, which they've kind of set up a little bit, you know, next time. So we'll see.
Then we had a former friend of the show,
okay,
Shane McCarthy, was writing on Facebook yesterday complaining about a film that I think we both liked quite a bit called About Time.
Yes, yes.
And I thought that was really a really odd complaint from him. It really hit him wrong. He almost like he had a... He's tone deaf to it, almost.
Here's the thing. He was complaining about the film.
Yeah.
And then I read that he basically turned it off after 10 minutes. And I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, it's basically like someone who, you know, goes like, I don't want to watch that movie about that Ebenezer Scrooge. He's a real asshole. It's like, okay, but you know, things happen.
Didn't give it a chance.
You know, the film that I've mentioned way too much on this show, Scott Pilgrim, there's a couple people I know who just couldn't watch it because he's such a douchebag in the first couple of minutes. Mm-hmm. They're like, I don't want to watch this guy. And I think we might be used to that in movies now where people don't change.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, if characters like this at the beginning, they're going to be like this at the end. And so, I'm not going to invest
my time
with
this. This is 40? Oh, my God. Speaking of This is 40, my daughter, Millis, watched it.
And just turned 40.
And she said it wasn't that bad. But the way she took it was, she took it as differently than me. Like, when I watched it, I felt like it was sort of a celebration of those two horrible people. You know what I mean? But she took it as it was like a satire of them that... You know, that these people were stuck in this ridiculous cycle of dysfunction.
I'm betting that's not the case.
Yeah, and you said, you know, I don't think that's true, dear. I think it's like seriously a celebration of those people. You know, like that's like the director's idea of like, you know.
This is what marriage is, right?
Yeah.
This is how it is.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
Yeah, I mean, Judd Apatow movies, like You're Knocked Up or whatever, are really strongly moral, you know, at their core. It's like you got the only thing you can do is you can get together and you got to raise a family and you got to do it right and this is how you do it. And, you know, 40-year-old virgin, I mean, they all start sort of dirty mouthed, but everyone has to be incredibly ethical and do the right thing completely.
Yeah.
And I think with this one, this is the right way to live. You know, this is just what it is.
Yeah.
This is how couples fight, right?
Yeah.
Everyone's like this. Yeah. No, you guys should get a divorce. We scream at the screen as two married fellows in our 40s. This is a horrible relationship you're in with this person.
I
understand that you apparently every 4 months have amazing sex and get high.
Yeah.
And, but, oof.
With hilarious consequences. But I just, See, my objection to the film when we were debating it was that it's supposed to be a comedy, And yet there is nothing to laugh at in the entire film.
I think you only laugh at it if you relate to it. And I don't think we related to it. In which way we might be a bit Shane-like, you know, with the about time.
But we watched it all the way through.
We did watch all the way through. Oh, Lord, we sure did. With About Time, I think that was one of the best films for dealing with, like, father-son love that I've seen, like, in a long, long time.
Yeah.
And the messages behind it.
Unashamedly so.
Right. And the messages behind it.
And it's a British movie. That's the incredible part.
Yeah. They're usually terrible.
No, I just mean, understand them. There's always a certain reticence in British, in... You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
a certain,
but I mean, I mean,
same for us.
A lot of things Bill Nye says is are like, you know, off the, you know, jokey, but there, you can tell there's a lot of love behind them, and you know, and it's got a good message in it about, you know, when you got to kind of, you love your parents, but now you got to get on with your life, and you know, once you have a kid, there's no turning back.
Yeah,
there's no turning back.
Yeah,
you can't, you know, da da da, and it's also very, it's a very moral film. You know, this guy has these time travel powers, and he, you know, you think you could do anything. Basically, you go, if you look at Groundhog Day, which is a good film,
very good film.
Bill Murray, you know, kills people, you know, at certain points, and kills himself, and does.
Well,
all
he knows that it has no consequence.
There's no consequences, so he goes off the dark end.
Yeah,
you know, this guy in this film could do that. You know, and there is a woman that he's in love with. Like, he could do things, but no, he doesn't. He's respectful and you know, uses the powers well, and then yeah, it's just so heartfelt and funny and good, and the message at the end about how to live your life. You know, again, it's unabashedly corny, but it worked for me.
Yeah,
yeah. And the thing with the dad, oh my God, just melts your heart, melts your freaking heart.
Yeah, it's very well
played. And the mom is great, too. The mom is such a good character. And the mom is a character that would date Bill Nye. You know, they that's completely right.
Do you think part of people's objection, if they object to the film, part of the objection is the fact that they're kind of upper middle class? You know, they're kind of have some privilege, and, you know, that often rubs people the wrong. I mean, I know that I love Whit Stillman films, and that's often an objection to those films, is that, you know, it doesn't deal with, like, lower class, working class people. It deals with, you know, the sort of the urban haute bourgeoisie, as they call themselves in metropolitan.
You could definitely go with that. But I look at the kind of things they
don't have real problems.
But the kind of things that they got time travel ability, so you can get out of some problems. But
sometimes.
But yeah, or you can be the uncle who it looks like did it too much and went cuckoo bananas. At least that's my theory on that.
Okay.
I mean, but what are the things that they love doing? They love.
I thought he was the mum's brother, though.
So you don't think he's? Do you think he's the mum's brother?
I thought he was. I could be wrong.
Okay, maybe. I thought that was the justification for why he was confused all the time.
Yeah,
you know, you change reality too much. You're not sure, you know, who's married to who or who's what.
No, that's a good idea.
That was my theory on that.
I like it.
But what are the things they like doing? They like getting together and having tea on the beach as a family on a fire. They just have, like, they put the thing on a fire. It boils the water. They have tea. And they just, like, throw frisbees around. Or they play ping pong together.
Yeah.
You know, they're not doing fancy stuff.
Yeah.
They're just living as, like, you know, a family.
Sure.
You know, that's the kind of, and the dad likes reading books. Like, sitting and reading books, and, like, when he gets time travel powers, he uses them to just read as many books as he wants to, and, like, spend time with his kid. It's like, yeah, that's fine. That's okay. You know, they got a house, but I just don't see them flaunting the wealth. I guess they are rich, but it didn't bother me as much. You know, maybe I'm just used to every sitcom where no matter how poor the character is, they have an enormous apartment and live in New York. And I just go, I'm watching entertainment, so people live in huge houses. It's fine.
Yeah. It's not real, though, right?
What's that?
It's not real, though.
Well, they are humans. Yeah. It's not done by robots. It's not done by robots. But recommendation, About Time. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Dave likes it. Former guest of the show, Shane, does not care for it.
Yeah. I think that reflects on him, not on us.
Doesn't have to reflect on anyone.
No, it does.
Different strokes,
bad.
Different folks.
Nope.
But try watching all the movie all the way along. Have you seen Her, by the way?
Herb?
Her. Yeah, Herb. It's okay, there's two ways I can go with a movie called Herb.
Yeah.
One, it's like the movie Her, but it's a guy named Herb on the line.
Yeah.
He's just like, hey, how you doing? My name's Herb. The other one is just a guy gets marijuana instead and imagines all the stuff that happens in Her.
Sure.
Recommend to you to watch Her. I think you would enjoy it.
I find it off-putting.
The concept?
Yeah.
I think you will not when you see it.
Okay.
But, or here's, and again, we got to wrap up soon. I watched a variety of movies on the plane.
I see.
And I kept trying to watch movies that would not have scenes with nudity in them because there was people next to me.
Okay.
Boy, you just don't win.
You didn't want them to see your test answers.
There you go. I mean, the first one was Wolf of Wall Street.
That's a good movie.
Yeah, but it starts with like him, you know, with a straw and a bum.
Yeah.
Okay, and so like, I'm like, now we must be done, right? We must be done. No, we're not at all. Yeah. And her has like a scene off the top that you're like, what are you doing, movie? Why is this even in this? Okay, fine.
What movie was it? Sorry.
Her.
Okay.
Her has a scene that's a little bit of nudity and stuff off the top. And then it's like nothing after that. You're fine. Now it's all just fine.
You had me for a second there, but you lost me.
You can always rewind the scene.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, recommend to see that film. Anyway, speaking of films, we should go see a film.
We should go.
All right. We'll tell you about it when we next see you. If you come to VanCalf, we'll tell you about it in
person. We'll tell you about it. That's right to your face.
Now, if you disagree with any of our many movie reviews, sneaky, or think that teachers shouldn't touch their students around the neck area, whatever, talk to us. Yeah. We're at sneakydragon.com. That's our message board there. We're also on Facebook. You can Twitter us at sneaky_dragon. Yep. Love to hear from you. If you want to review the show, iTunes lets you do that, mm-hmm. and that helps people to find our show.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you want to plug otherwise, Dave?
Well, actually, thinking about it, I wish I'd plugged it on our other podcast, but I have a Completely Beatles t-shirt up on the website. There's actually two.
Oh, nice.
Our White Album tribute shirt, and also one with the Completely Beatles logo on it.
Now, the White Album tribute shirt, if you remember the White Album, it's white. So we have, as a tribute to our episode, we did two episodes of Completely Beatles on the White Album. And so in tribute to that, we have a completely white shirt.
Yes.
It's just completely white.
Yeah.
So that's the shirt.
Yeah.
But you and I both know that it's a Completely Beatles shirt.
Yeah.
Other people might not know.
Yeah.
But you and I know because we're hip.
And happening.
And say you bought one of those, I don't know, at the con, we might sign it for you.
Sure.
Then it wouldn't be completely white. But that's up to you. That's your choice.
Yes.
So anyway, sneakydragon.com. Go check things out there.
Go look around.
Yeah, go look around. Why not? And if you're in Vancouver next week on Wednesday, Critical Hit Show will be at the Rio Theater. It's a live show I do there. Live Dungeons & Dragons. Would like to see you after that show. Say hi. Why don't you? Maybe Dave will be in the audience. Maybe he won't. I don't know. I don't know his life. I don't know. I'm going to look at pictures of him in this 1980 Burnsview yearbook.
It's worked
right
like
now.
This. If the Critical Hit Show falls on in the same week as the Completely Beatles podcast, I will not be at the show.
But it doesn't.
Well, then I might be there.
There we go. All right. Hope to see you live in person this Saturday and Sunday, especially Sunday when we're going to be doing our show live.
Please say hi.
Please do say hi. We would love to hear from you. And there's going to be hot dogs for sale outside. Delicious hot dogs.
Yes.
Usually, you know, delicious. And my voice is, I'm losing my voice right now too.
Yep.
So let's just call it. I've been Ian Boothby.
I've been David Dedrick.
We appreciate your kind attention. Thanks so much. Bye.
Bye, everyone. Different streaks for different freaks.
Different strokes for facts of life.